Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we are thinking together in a series of studies from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. These books, part of the travel epistles, the Apostle Paul wrote six of these. He wrote Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. And these books were written while Paul was still traveling before he was imprisoned. They're very important epistles because he's writing back to churches that he had started. In the Galatian church, they had turned to some false teaching concerning the law, false teaching which is still present today. Many people still believe that we're under the law of Moses, under these hundreds of regulations of the law of Moses. And Galatians was written to clearly teach us that we're now under grace and we're living by the Spirit of God. And we do live by the principles of the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God, but we're not under the law anymore. But now he's writing to the Thessalonians. These were people who were very, very spiritual people. He had been called into Macedonia, to the cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. I had been called from Asia, and I mentioned this in a previous lesson. We'll not go into this again. But he had been called in a very miraculous way, where he saw a vision in the night in Acts chapter 16, and the vision said that he was to go into Macedonia. And so he immediately responded, and immediately they set sail and went into these cities of Macedonia. And there in Philippi and there in Thessalonica, even though he was under great persecution, great opposition from the people who hated the Lord Jesus, nevertheless, sincere believers were won to the Lord. And churches were established in these cities. And these cities and their churches became models for the rest of the Roman Empire. In fact, he uses the churches of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 as examples to the carnal, wicked Corinthians. He uses them as examples to them to cause them to be ashamed of their selfishness and to give to the poor in Jerusalem as God wanted them to give. Now, in chapter 1, we noted that chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians was mostly devoted to a commendation of these Thessalonian believers. Most of the verses, except for one verse where Paul speaks of his own ministry among them, that it was a ministry of power and of glory to God, but most of the verses have to do with the testimony and the example that these people have before God, these people of Thessalonica. And how people in other parts of Europe, in fact, had been affected by their testimony and by the witness of the gospel in that city and the testimony of their lives. Now, as we've come to chapter 2, we notice that Paul turns now to his own testimony. And we've come down to verse 7, and we want to continue our study of this passage. We notice in the first part how unselfish the Apostle Paul was, how sacrificial he was, verses 1 to 6. But as we study those verses, we notice that the Apostle Paul was not a perfect man, and we are not perfect Christians ourselves. Sometimes we will fail. We will sin against God. We will return momentarily to the things of the world. But then we get him right with God, and we continue on with him. When we get to heaven, of course, we will be perfect, but in this life, we sometimes will fail. But the idea of this passage is that we don't have to continue like this. The Apostle Paul was not saying that he was a perfect man, but what he was saying was that he was following the Lord with all his heart. He was following the Lord very clearly with all his heart, and that he was unselfish. He was devoted to the Lord. He was bold. He was willing to stand for the Lord in spite of great opposition, in spite of great persecution in this city and in every other city. Nevertheless, the Apostle Paul was still standing for the truth and sacrificing himself for the Lord. He also points out, and we studied this in the last lesson, that he never sought glory from men. In other words, he was not exalting himself. He was not presenting himself. Now, there's no conflict between what he says here and the fact that he's using his own example to them. It's not wrong for us to have an example before other people. The question is, do we receive glory from it? Are we seeking glory for ourselves? Or are we simply saying, God has done this in my life? And God can do this in your life as well. And here's what I said, an example. Integrity and honesty, whatever, sacrificial spirit, whatever. When I've set an example for other people, we're giving glory back to God. It is God who did this in my life. It's God who enables me to go on like this, to serve Him faithfully without faltering at all. And we're trying to encourage other people to believe the same thing. God can so work in your lives that He will receive the glory. Now, I want to come down to verse 7 now. We're going to read a few of these verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you the gospel, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Now I want to stop our reading right there. I want to begin with verse 7, and I want us to think of this. In verse 7, he is pointing out his tender, loving spirit towards them. And I've pointed this out before in previous lessons. The way we present the gospel is very important. Let me emphasize that phrase again. The way we present the gospel is very important. We're not simply thundering at people. We're not simply judging people. Rather, in a very humble, tender, loving way, we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We're imploring people. We're begging people. We're sharing with them the truth of the mercy and the grace of God. And we're imploring them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I approach someone, for instance, in a hospital bed, person is about to die. Person has never trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. It may be a relative of mine. It may be a friend of mine. It may be someone whom someone has called to ask me, please go visit my friend, my relative in the hospital. It may be someone I don't really know very much. But the way we approach them is very, very important. In other words, we're not simply threatening them, we're not simply condemning them, but we're giving them the truth in love and in tenderness. Now, it's interesting the phrases the Apostle Paul uses here in verse 7. He speaks of himself as a person nursing a small baby. You can imagine this mother now with a small baby in her arms. And how wonderful it is, and what a touching scene it is when a mother is holding a small baby in her arms. How tenderly she holds a baby. How she loves that dear little child. How she leans down to kiss that child on the forehead. She fondles that little child, that little tiny newborn baby. The Apostle Paul is saying, that's the way I was among you. I was like a tender mother to you. I didn't come to you threatening you or speaking harshly to you or speaking in a way that was offensive to you in an arrogant, harsh way, but rather I came to you like a nursing mother. I was very tender among you. Even in spite of opposition, in spite of those who hated the gospel that I was preaching, I still had a tender, loving attitude toward you. Now, what we're trying to point out is this. They could confirm this. In other words, they knew that this was true. The Apostle Paul is saying to them, is this not true? And he's also saying to them, by implication, is this not the way you are to present the Lord Jesus Christ to others? In other words, follow my example. Be imitators of me. As I came among you, so you also are to come before other people. You're to present the gospel. You're to share with them the truth. And because of your tender, loving attitude, perhaps they will be swayed. They will be won to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he compares himself to this nursing mother, holding tenderly her baby. And he's saying, this is the kind of person I was among you. Then in verse 8, he was saying to them how very dear these people were to him. So they were so dear to him that he would gladly have given to them not only the gospel, but also his own life for them. There's a passage that I think of from Romans chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul is speaking of his great burden for the Jewish people. Many of these Jewish peoples have been looking for the Messiah. Even today, many of the Jewish people, those who are true Jewish people, are looking for the Messiah. Jesus is that Messiah. They need to find in the Lord Jesus their true Messiah. He fulfilled every fulfillment of the Old Testament. He fulfilled everything. He fulfilled every prediction that would be given concerning him. That first of all, he would be the suffering Savior, and then later he would come and be the reigning King. And so the Lord Jesus in Romans chapter 9 speaks of his great burden, his tender burden for the Jewish people, for those who have never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And in that passage, he says, I would be willing to give up my own salvation, if need be, if the Jewish people could be saved. Now, we know from a spiritual standpoint, this could never happen. We cannot give up our salvation on behalf of somebody else. But the Apostle Paul is saying, I would be willing to be condemned myself if the Jewish people could be saved, if numbers of them could come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was sacrificial. He loved the Jewish people so very dearly. Now, many of these people would feel, Paul, you turned against the Jewish religion. You turned against the law. You say in Philippians chapter 3 that you have left forever these things, the things that were gained to you, following the law and everything, you have left them forever. And there's, how can you say that you still love us? No, I still love you as a people. I am a Jew myself, the Apostle Paul would say. So he was saying that they were dear to him. He is saying this to the Thessalonians now. You were dear to me. Just as he had said to the Jewish people, I would give up anything for you if you could be saved. Now he's saying to the Thessalonians, I would have given my own life for you, if need be, that you might be saved. And so you were so dear to me that that's how I felt about you. So in verse 8, he would have given up his own life for them. And of course, Paul's burden for the Jews compares with this. Now, in verse 9, he has this to say, and that is that he did not want to be a burden to them. Now, I want to make this very clear. I believe in supporting pastors. I believe that pastors are to be full-time workers for God. This does not take away from that. In other words, a laborer is worthy of his hire. So when we have a pastor in our church, we should adequately take care of him. There are some churches where they pay their pastor, but they don't really pay him adequately. In other words, he is barely getting along. But in the case of the Apostle Paul, there was a reason why he didn't accept support from the people to whom he was preaching, or the people whom he had won to the Lord. In the case of the Corinthians, it would be they would justify their own sins by saying, well, after all, Paul, we're supporting you, don't say anything concerning our sins. The Apostle Paul did not want to be so indebted to them, because these people were going to use anything they might give him as a means for continuing in their own sins. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I received nothing from you. You gave me nothing, and I owe you nothing back as far as funds are concerned, because I came to you and I supported myself. And now when he comes to this city of Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul is able to say, I was not a burden to you. Now, their reasons for this are not the same as they would have been for the Corinthians. Now, these people were not carnal people. They were not wicked people. They would not turn this against the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is simply saying that when I came, I sacrificed to come to you. I was not a burden to you in any way, and I sacrificed to come to you. And this is a very, very important truth that we need to remember, where the Apostle Paul could say this to these people. And so we don't want to be a burden to others, even in our own families, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our workmates and others. We're not expecting some gain from them. Rather, we're expecting that they will receive the Lord Jesus, and the gain would be that they would have a salvation, the same salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me take one more thing in verse 10. Verse 10 has this to say, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. How holily and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. I want to talk a little bit about this, the holiness and the purity of our lives as we live before other people. This is in verse 10. He wanted them to remember that his life and labor among them was devout and upright and blameless. No one could criticize him justly. Now, I mentioned before in a previous lesson, the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, because of all of the admonitions he had had to give them in 1 Corinthians, he gave them, of course, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, but he had given them many admonitions concerning these 12 or 13 different areas of sin in their lives. And now these people had turned against him. They were accusing him of everything. And so in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul could say how holy and blameless he was before them. And now he's saying the same thing to the Thessalonians. In other words, there was nothing in my life that would detract from the truth of the message I was sharing with you. There was nothing in my life that would take away from the admonitions I gave you concerning the Christian life after you were saved. In other words, that you were to live holy and pure lives. And there was nothing you could look to in my life that would detract at all from that. And of course, this is Paul's testimony. This would cause them to respect and heed the message that he proclaimed among them without being distracted by anything wrong in his life or by using anything found wrong in his life as an excuse for sin in their own lives. In other words, because the Apostle Paul was living a holy and pure and blameless life before them, they also would be admonished to go ahead and live the same kind of life before God. And so this is very important in our approach to other people. And I want to close with this as I close this particular lesson. It's very important as we approach other people. That is that our lives are found to be blameless. There's nothing they can criticize in our life, nothing they can use as an excuse for rejecting the truth that we share with them. So this would be my prayer for myself and for each of you, that as we live our lives, in my case, as I finish out my life, perhaps for a few more years, God might still let me live. But as I finish out my life, I want it to be a blameless life so it would never detract from the wonderful truth I'm declaring of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us each one to be this kind of witnesses for the Lord.